Hey, it's Stu. Remember to tune in to The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the Chicago Bulls dynasty of the 90s. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, which is presented by State Farm and brought to you by AT&T. You can find Jalen and Jacoby wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than Oprah. You've made us bigger than Oprah. You know what? You made us bigger than Michael Jordan.
Whoa.
Oh, how about that? Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review again. A podcast named Stupodity, hosted by a guy named Stu Gotts, is bigger than Oprah and Michael Jordan combined. Santa, how about that? That's exciting, huh? You didn't know that.
I did not. I mean, everything is just what you say it is, I guess. In your head, yes, we're the biggest thing going.
Just trust me, okay?
Okay.
We are going to have Laura Rutledge on this episode of Stupodity. We are churning out podcasts at an unhealthy rate. I can tell you right now, this is not good for my health. It's not good for Stantic's health. But you would agree, Stantic, this is the first time I'll be speaking to Laura Rutledge. It's the first time I'm going to be meeting her because we're going to be able to see her on the computers that we're using right now. I've never met her. I've never spoken to her. We've exchanged some text messages. I've had a lot of people tell me she'd be a great guest for the podcast. I'm super excited to have her. You would agree, though, okay, if I were to tell you the five rising stars right now at ESPN, this would be my five rising stars at ESPN. It would be Laura Rutledge, Maria Taylor, Diana Rossini, Mina Kimes, and Mikey C. Fair? I mean, what are you laughing at?
You know? It's a good list. It's a good list. Let me just say that I don't know how much higher Mikey can get in ESPN. And when I say higher, I mean it's 420, and I'm sure he's celebrating.
Yes, it's 420 on 420, by the way. Double celebration for those of you in the know. Anyway, so we have Laura Rutledge coming up quickly, Stanton. We had Greedy on last week. It was fantastic. We'll have him on again at some point this week because he's got nothing better to do. He's still sitting in that office just waiting for us to call him back. Greedy, cover those Bulls teams. Gave us a good hour and 5 minutes last week. He crushed it. People loved that episode. You have now seen episodes 1 and 2. Now, in 97, 98, you were roughly 12 years old. So you didn't really catch the first three titles. You were alive. You don't really remember them. You caught that second team. What were your impressions quickly of episodes 1 and 2? Like, what stood out for you there?
I mean, I think it has to be everyone's takeaway. The ego on Jerry Krause is unimaginable. Like, I've worked with some guys with some pretty big egos. Greeny, Cowherd, you.
Whoa!
But no one is on the level of Jerry Krause saying, like, Phil Jackson can go 82-0 and this is his last season. And Michael Jordan's like, that's the only coach I'm playing for. It's bonkers, man.
It really is. Like, I want people, they did a very good job of, especially for the younger audience, of setting up just who Michael Jordan is and giving you a glimpse into why, both through just his mentality and just the sheer athleticism. There was no doubt after 2 hours, the first two episodes, what they wanted you to know is, hey, young kid, you think Kobe's good? You think LeBron's good? This guy was way better. Why? And he was. I mean, Dwayne Wade said if he had three wishes, one of the things he wished for is this documentary. It's weird.
You got to have better wishes than that. I mean, come on.
I wish you Michael Jordan. I mean, so they did a fantastic job of kind of laying the groundwork. Not so much for me because I lived through it, but for you and then younger, hey, here's who this guy was. Here's how competitive he was, and here's how athletic he was, and he's better than anything you ever seen. The Jerry Krause part of it, which is fascinating. I want people to really, I mean, stand to think about this. You have the best player to ever play your sport, to play any sport. And he is telling you, the only coach I will play for, after winning 5 titles in 7 years, it would have been 7-7 had he not gone and played baseball, okay? After winning all those titles, he says, the only coach I'm going to play for is Phil Jackson. And you have the GM saying, I don't care if he goes 82-0, this is Phil Jackson's last year. And boxes in the greatest athlete in the history of sports. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if something like that happened today in 2020, a general manager saying this coach is done if he goes 82-0, like that's out of control. Like no one would stand for that in 2020.
No, and no one stood for it in 1997 and 98. The problem is we didn't have social media. I'm telling you, like people, Santic, we were all well aware of what was going on with Jordan, Jerry Krause, and Pippen and the whole deal. And by the way, like I know they made Scottie Pippen to be out, you know, they made him out to be this poor soul. He made $108 million in his career. He's fine, okay, and he's still making money. But it is patently absurd to think if you have the greatest player to ever play your sport and they're winning and they're about to win their 6th title in 8 years, and it would have been 8-8 had he not taken off for baseball, you keep that thing together for as long as possible. In fact, Jordan said it in the first episode, we have earned the right to come back and defend our title until someone beats us and takes the title away from us. It's incredible that Jerry Krause thought the right move at that time was not Phil Jackson. Tim Floyd was the right move. It was crazy. It's crazy. If it happened today, it'd be even crazier. All right, so that was the last dance. Let's have our first dance with Laura Rutledge.
Stupidity!
Stupidity's coverage of The Last Dance is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Coverage is also brought to you by AT&T.
Stupidity!
You look like you're in a song. Like, Stantic, first off, let me explain to the audience, okay? Explain to Stantic. Oh. This is my first time meeting Laura Rutledge. I think this is the first time we ever spoke, okay? And bang. I haven't shaved in a month, all right? And,
but me neither.
And Laura's already, and here's the greatest thing, Stantic. She's already mad at me. Like, we're already feuding, and she'll explain why in a second. But tell me she doesn't look like she's doing the podcast right now from her sauna. I mean,
it's either a sauna or J.J. Watt's luxurious cabin that he called rustic, or what was the term he used?
He called it minimalistic.
Minimalistic, that was it. Yeah.
Well, so the best name that I have heard for this background is actually from Jeff Passan, who said, I am Laura Hutledge. As a result of this. And yes, it's actually me just saying, you know, I don't want to be like everybody else and have a bookcase in the background. So my setup is just this random wood wall, but I've decided that, like, what do you guys think if I were to go on some of these shows and just like wear a towel on my head or something and just embrace the sauna, the whole sauna thing and see how far that goes? Would we recommend that? Like, where are we at on that?
You are asking a person whose name is Tugas, who hosts the podcast Stupidity, if I recommend putting a towel on your head for SportsCenter shoots. I mean, what do you think the answer to that
is? I'm doing it, right? Like, I should do it ASAP.
Yes.
Yeah. The funniest part about this is there was an animal head on this wall that I took off. And I think I should just put it back because it would make the whole thing that much better. And I would definitely be minimalistic, as J.J. Watt likes to say.
Are you or your husband or both of you guys hunt? Are you hunters?
My husband is, he's more of a, he likes bow hunting, which is actually quite difficult, if you're into that whole sort of thing. And then fishing, which I am good at neither one of those. And I am more of a, person that likes to save animals and including fish. So, but anyway, yeah, he's very into it.
You guys have such an interesting dynamic, and we'll get to it in a second, where your husband graduated from Alabama, you graduated from Florida, he likes to kill things, and you like to save things. I mean, how'd you get married?
I wonder that every day, to be totally honest, which I think most marriages operate that way. But yes, we do have a funny story of how we met, too, so I'm happy to share that as well. Teaser.
Very, very good.
Wow.
Teaser. So,
wow, coming up, she's been working with Greeny for like a few years. The next thing you know, she's dropping teases on it.
Right, bombs, yeah.
All right, so let's put a bookmark right there. It says, remind me to go back to that story because you know I'll forget, okay? After Laura explains to you and our audience why she is mad at me before even meeting me or ever speaking a single word to me. She was already frustrated with me. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're feuding. Here's the thing. Like, I am a big fan of Stu Gotts and Dan Levitard, and I have enjoyed the show from a distance for years and enjoyed this podcast from a distance. So when I got a text from a number that I didn't recognize and it was Stu Gotts, I'm like, what? Oh my goodness. I've made it in life. Like, I'm getting this text and he wants to talk to me. Are you kidding me? So I get all excited and I'm like writing it down in my planner, which I am a nerd that still has an old fashioned planner, and I write things down and I write down, you know, date and time of when we're going to do this. Well, then, you know, the time rolls around and, you know, kind of like don't hear anything, but I get a phone call from him and it was all kind of dicey. And then he says, well, you know what? I forgot about the time that we were doing this, and I had the wrong time and didn't write you down. And really what it revealed to me is that this is a very lopsided relationship that we have going here, where I am all excited and you are just in this scenario of you're like, man, you know, I got this chick that they said I could interview for the podcast, and fine, I guess I'll add her to the schedule, but she didn't even make it on the schedule. So anyway, we're feuding. I'm thinking that I might try and send him banana bread or something to see if I can win him over, but that's where we're at here.
I love banana bread. I do. Stanzi, you like banana bread? I mean, feel free to send some.
I love it.
Listen, so I scheduled and canceled this interview with Laura, and I wanted to speak to you as well, just so you're aware, but I canceled it 4 or 5 different times, Stanzik.
Oh, it's brutal.
But what I'm telling you is, over time, like, Stanzik is used to me by now, you'll become numb to it, just like everyone else.
Yeah, okay? Laura, you have a lot to learn with the great Stu Gotts here.
I can't take it personally, right?
Yeah, he says he's going to call you in a few, that is a minimum of 2 hours later. Minimum.
I mean, I'm over here, you know, I'm like checking my phone. I'm like turning it on and off, thinking, oh my God, you know, maybe something's wrong with my technology here. And like, you know, poor Stu Gotts is trying to call me and I'm like not answering the phone. Yeah, no, not so much. Mm-mm. So desperation level 500 over here. And this is how he really feels.
He's all right. A liar. You should know that. He will always need you in 2 minutes, but if you need him, it's going to be a few.
Bullshit. That is a lie. I might be unorganized, but and I am a liar, but many times it's unintentional. It is, okay?
Yeah, this is taking a turn. Like, I feel like you guys are maybe airing some grievances here, and I'm glad to be a part of it, but I'm not quite sure I can totally relate to that part of it. Although we did start off in the wrong foot, which, you know, we've got time to make it up, but we did start off on the wrong foot, to be totally honest.
Yeah. Well, my apologies. Whether you believe that or not, they're sincere. And I stand shaking his head. No, you're a f***ing asshole. You know,
that's on the nail.
I'm waiting for my banana bread. Okay. So said I was sending you banana bread, that means you send me banana bread. But anyway.
All right. Do you like chocolate chips in your banana bread? It's a very important question.
You know, I do, although I am somebody that likes just a plain banana bread, and I'll put nuts in the banana bread. I mean, I'm not particular. If it has the word bread in it, I'm probably good.
All right. So I'm going to send you something. Okay. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to have my wife make it, because she's very good at making banana bread with chocolate chips in it. And so I'm going to have her send you some. So you're going to have to give me your address. Don't give it on the podcast here. Let's give it to us.
I'm going to air it out here on the, I'll tweet it at you, my address. That's how we'll do
okay,
it.
Okay, good. Right. And your phone number too. By the way, I'm thinking for that back wall, that wooden wall, you're in the sauna right now, standing. This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, yes, she should have to do it with a towel around her head. But I'm thinking a stupidity sign, like right behind her next time she's on SportsCenter. We got to make that happen, Laura. Okay?
We do have to make that happen.
And that would be the only thing on the wall. Like, how incredible. Yes. I think that's hilarious. And like, I don't care that no one else, guarantee you, there would be somebody that would say, hey, so we're looking at your shot and we're wondering if you can just tilt the camera a little bit to the left, because, you know, there's like a sticker there and we need to tilt that down. You know, can you turn your lighting down? Meanwhile, I'm like, excuse me, guys, I'm actually doing this on my iPhone and I've got, you know, like a ghetto light bulb that's in my face, and that's what we're doing. So don't make me take my stupidity sticker out of the shot.
Well, let's make it so. We'll send you a bunch, okay? So regardless of where they tell you to move, there's always going to be a Stupidity sticker, okay?
This is just, yes, 1,000 times in. This is amazing. And then, you know, you might see that all of a sudden I would start to get some stickers. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not like a famous sponsorable person, but you wonder what other stickers would show up, you know, like once people saw that I was maybe going to stick some stickers on this wood wall.
Right.
It could really get interesting.
Yes, it can. This is a great idea. I am very excited. Next time you're on SportsCenter, towel on your head, Stupidity stickers all over the wooden wall. Good idea. All right, so you married Josh Rutledge, who was a former Major League Baseball player. You teased it earlier. Yes. He went to Alabama. You went to the University of Florida. By the way, I must tell you, my wife graduated from the University of Florida. And where you were born, is it Celebration, Florida? Is that the name?
Okay, so I was born in Atlanta, but I did live in Celebration, Florida for a while, which is the, you know, it was the original idea was to be a Disney town. You know, it was almost, but it was a very interesting place, to say the least. And yes, right. I went to Celebration High School. So Celebration, Florida, I'm very familiar with it. We actually lived on Celebration Avenue, which, you know, the more that you think and hear about Celebration, the creepier it becomes.
It's, I must say though, I understand because I've been there, but I must say the reason I brought it up, it's my wife's favorite place on the planet. Like it's straight out of a movie, but it is her favorite place on the planet. She loves it there.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's great, I think, to visit, but then you actually live there and it becomes a little bit weirder. But I will say, like, there are some wonderful parts of it. When we lived there, I mean, I rode my bike everywhere. I had a little basket on the front of my bike. I'm outing myself as the biggest nerd in the entire world, but that's what it was. And, you know, it was a great spot for kids. Like, it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
I feel like you compensated, Sam. Like later in life, Laura, I feel like you compensated by covering football. Okay, I'm not this Disney princess. I'm going to cover football. How about that?
I'm like, let me just balance myself out over here. I'm a Libra, so that's probably it. I'm like trying to balance the scales.
All right, so let's get to your husband and how you guys met. Again, Josh Rutledge played Major League Baseball. He went to the University of Alabama. Laura, as we now know, graduated from the University of Florida. This is all, and Josh likes to kill things and you like to save things. And this is all confusing to everyone. So how'd you guys meet?
Yeah, we couldn't be more opposite. So sorry, there's like, I know no one can see what's happening, but there's like dog hair flying around in my face. So I don't know where that's coming from exactly. But anyway, so.
Probably your dog. I mean,
maybe. I don't know if he would, you know, be shedding hair in here or anything. Yeah. So when I was just a few months out of college, I was doing a job that was kind of for foxsports.com where I would like go and do a lot of recruiting coverage. So I did high school football coverage and all that. Well, anyway, there was the Alabama LSU game, the game of the century that was like the real game of the century in 2011. And my bosses said, hey, you're going to go there and you're going to do a tailgate piece ahead of this game, which, you know, it's going to be a big deal. So my producer knew somebody who was affiliated with the Alabama baseball tailgate. And I thought, that sounds like a nightmare. I would hate to go to that tailgate. A bunch of drunk baseball players doesn't really sound like my cup of tea, but okay, fine. You know, we'll go and check it out. Well, Josh was there. And if anybody, you know, if you've seen what he looks like, he looks like Leonardo DiCaprio / you know, Bradley Cooper or something, like very good looking guy, obviously. And you know, so I saw him, I'm like, God, I'm like, that guy's really good looking. Like, what's he up to in the sense of he must be up to nothing good, right? Because you can't trust people that are good looking. You two know that quite well. So I was like, I don't even want to talk to this guy. And somebody said to me, they're like, oh yeah, he runs Tuscaloosa. I thought, well, that's even less attractive. So let me stay far away from this guy. So anyway, whatever. So then that night, LSU won the game, obviously, that first time they met, then Alabama ended up winning the game in the national championship that same year in 2011. But we ended up like, you know, kind of at the same bar. And I was like, oh, it's that guy again. And he was very upset because Alabama lost the game. So my lasting impression of him was that he had like multiple beverages, pouring in his mouth at one time. And I thought that, you know, listen, he's probably a cool dude, but not my kind of guy. So then like a week later, I had to be back in Birmingham, Alabama for a high school football thing. And randomly I'm like going to this Zoe's Kitchen that was, you know, a Greek restaurant, or you guys know it's like a chain, but anyway, in Alabama. And I walk in there and like, he's in there and I'm like, you know, what's going on? And this is when Twitter was relatively new, kind of. People weren't really doing that much with it. And so we had followed each other and like we had kind of accidentally slid into each other's DMs, but that really wasn't a thing then. And then all of a sudden he's at the Zoe's Kitchen and I'm like, what are you doing here? And so that was kind of how we started dating. And, at the time, he didn't know that I had gone to Florida. I think he would have reconsidered after that. But the other funny part is I had looked, you know, I was like, well, I don't want to date an athlete. You know, that's a really bad idea. And so I had looked up, you know, okay, he's a minor league baseball player. Like, is he really going to make it to the big leagues anytime soon? At the time, he was in Double A. And I look up his stats and look everything. I'm like, ah, he's really young. He's got a ways to go. He won't be in the big leagues anytime soon. And then that very year, he ends up getting called up to the big leagues. And in fact, we had a week where at the beginning of the week, he got called up to the bigs, and then the end of the week, I won Miss Florida.
Wow, a hell of a week.
Stupid. It's so stupid. But like, I mean, his thing wasn't stupid. My thing was stupid. But it was just like the craziest week of all time. He got called up to the big leagues from Double A because Troy Tulowitzki had gotten hurt. So just a crazy, crazy time and crazy week. And from there, you know, I guess opposites attract. And here we are now.
I think you stole his thunder. I think you had the bigger accomplishment that week, to be honest with you.
No, the best part was I told him, I'm like, look, you know, I'm like, I'm doing this to get scholarship money and like, you know, to work on some things that I need to work on from a presentation standpoint for television. I'm not going to win. Don't worry. You know, I'm going to do this pageant. I'm not going to win. And then like I won, and he texted me. He's like, you told me you weren't going to win. What's this all about? So anyway, I wanted to say, well, you told me you weren't getting called up to the big leagues, but here you are.
So he looks like a mixture of DiCaprio and Bradley Cooper. He's a very good looking guy. Now you can see me visually. I often get George Clooney. Can you see it?
I was going to give you a little bit of Bradley Cooper. To be totally honest, but there's a little Clooney in kind of the distinguished look that you have going on there. Yeah.
And how about Stanzik? What does Stanzik with those glasses? Stanzik looks very smart.
Very smart. I would also say a very smart looking Orlando Bloom, if you will.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, we are no longer feuding, my friend. I can tell you that right now. I mean, you're the first one to agree that I look like Clooney.
You are basically Clooney. In fact, you know what? George Clooney is a poor man's Stu Gatz, if we're being totally honest.
Yes. Yes.
Cut it. Send it.
By the way, she mentioned early Twitter. I always send, like, I beg you to do this. Go back and look at, like, Chris Mortensen's first 15 tweets. I mean, this is the time, I think this is what you're referencing, Laura, where Mort would, because no one knew what to do.
No one knew what it was, yeah.
Mort's like, hey, gardening in the front lawn. Like, he would tweet it out. And I copy and paste it to him. I send it to him all the time.
I love it. Like, and then like, you know, there are those moments sometimes when people will have an old tweet that surfaces that's not good and whatever. So I think we've all done this where you kind of start going back through your tweets. You're like, golly, what was I tweeting in 2011? And I go back and it's like, you know, I tweeted a few like weird photos where, you know, I was like kind of flexing for the camera and I'm like, what is that? I don't even know. I don't even remember doing that. One weird photo, like with a Christmas tree that it was very artsy. And I thought maybe that's what you should do on Twitter. So we were all just trying to figure it out. And I didn't even know what a DM was. You know, I mean, that wasn't something that people were doing. So anyway, now everyone's probably like going back. They're going to find some old tweet of mine that I haven't found yet. But yeah, early Twitter is great.
Stupidity!
All right, let's take a minute here for our friends at ZipRecruiter. We appreciate their support of Stupidity. Here's a message from our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. Right now, we cannot be overwhelmed. We can't. We have to work to keep our loved ones safe and protect our communities. We have to work to stay strong, to stay connected, to stay focused. We have to work to inspire, to innovate, to build new solutions. But for all of this to work, we have to work together. At ZipRecruiter, we connect employers and people every day, but today is different. We are partnering with first responders, government officials, the medical community, the innovators, and the manufacturing, transportation, and food distribution industries to make sure we are finding the right people for the right jobs right now. Let's work together ZipRecruiter.com/work together.
Stupidity!
So you go to the University of Florida. You're there for the Tebow years. Is that correct?
Tebow, Urban Meyer years.
So those were some pretty good years to be there, right? I mean, they did a lot of winning while you were there.
They did. And, you know, it's funny because looking back, like when I first got there, I just wanted to do radio and that was all I wanted to do. So I had a radio show called The Cheap Seats on WRUF, which was an AM station in Gainesville.
Nice.
I did The Cheap Seats for a couple hours every day, you know, from my sophomore year to about my senior year. But while we were doing that, you know, they were winning so much that we didn't even consider losing. Like it wasn't an option. And that was kind of my first foray into covering sports. And so that's what I was used to, is just like championship football. And the Tebow factor was unbelievable. I mean, I was like sitting in the room for the promise speech that he gave after they lost that game, in what ended up being their 08 championship run. And I'll never forget like sitting there and looking around and being like, did anyone else, realize what just happened? His parents were like in the back of the room. I'm looking at his parents like, do you guys know what just happened? And everyone kind of was like, whoa, you know, this guy just gave this speech that will end up being, you know, at least for Florida fans, something that we all remember, for college football fans too. And then, you know, just thinking back to those teams and the players that were on the teams, and they really were, I mean, you talk about walking around campus. If you saw some of those guys on campus, they were rock stars. And I know that that's true in some ways on college football campuses now, but I'm not sure that it's quite true to the degree that that team was at that particular time. And it was all kind of led by Tebow's star power.
Yeah, I mean, it was an NFL team. That's why. It was essentially an NFL team. You knew that Tebow, Aaron Hernandez, sorry to bring up his name, all these guys, you know that they, those guys. Here's the funniest thing. The craziest amongst all of them is not Aaron Hernandez. It was Percy Harvin. Tell him, Laura.
Absolutely. I mean, guys, Percy Harvin. And look, I mean, he was somebody that we never knew one day or to the next, like what was going to happen with him. Was he going to show up? Was he going to be able to play? Was he going to, you know, have an issue? Whatever was going on. And look, I mean, you even think about like Carlos Dunlap, Brandon Spikes, some of those guys on the defensive side of the ball, they were equally crazy. And there was a lot of that that went on. And either way, it was like an assembling of a football team that I would say in today's day and age would no longer be possible. Like you just wouldn't see that many, you know, NFL ready, NFL caliber players, guys that are going to play in the league for a while. You wouldn't see them all assembled that way and be able to have a championship run like that. And, you know, you can look at that on two sides. I think on one side, it's a group of guys that are great at football. But on the other side, they were guys that had a lot of issues too. Tebow, aside from that, though, he didn't have any issues.
Yeah, Tebow, Laura, was like the white knight covering up everything for the program. You mentioned everybody was a rock star, and Tebow obviously was a rock star among the rock stars. And I know he's a man of faith, but you've been to the Florida football games. You've been to the nightlife in Florida. I imagine you saw Tebow out at one of those. He claims to have resisted temptation, to put it gently. How?
So here's the funny thing about Tim. And like at the time, I didn't know him that well. Obviously, I was just like a student and I was, you know, doing radio interviews. And so I didn't know if this was actually true. But at the time, people would be like, oh, yeah, you know, Tim really is like who he says he is. Honestly, for Tebow in that time, he was so focused on football that like his big reward was getting a large bowl, like that you would have a mixing bowl and filling it full of cereal and like eating that. That was what he lived for. Like he loved eating these huge bowls of cereal. And now he won't even look at a carb and, he'll like smell a carb and be worried about it. So, but that was what that was what he would look forward to. And he wanted to win so bad. And look, I mean, you know, there were, I'm sure certainly temptations for him, all over the place in Gainesville, but he really was truly focused on like that championship mentality, and he wasn't going to take anything else as, you know, any sort of distraction except for maybe the cereal. The cereal really, really kind of kept him going in a lot of ways. The one thing that was funny too is there's a Chick-fil-A on campus at Florida. And he liked that. And so you would see like an entire gaggle of sorority girls that would just gather around that Chick-fil-A, like waiting to see if Tebow would go to Chick-fil-A that day. And this was, I mean, you just knew it. Like you couldn't even go to the Chick-fil-A at lunchtime because that was going to be a thing that was going to be happening. So it was, it really was like looking back on it, it was such a funny time and a time that when social media wasn't really that big of a deal, it would have been a lot different, I think, had social media been as prevalent as it is now.
Well, that team would not have made it a season if social media was as prevalent. No, not a single season. By the way, you hear my dog? He's drinking early on a Friday.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not mine. I'm looking over my shoulder all the time, like, who's making noise in here?
And by the way, Stan's like, I must compliment you. That was a very delicate way of asking that question. And I'm glad you didn't leave it to me because I would have wanted it a totally different way.
Jagat was too scared to ask Laura.
Well, I was going to say, are we led to believe he entered the University of Florida as a virgin and exited the University of Florida as a virgin? I mean, that's crazy.
He did, guys. He did. Like, I mean, look, I can't absolutely confirm that with 1000% facts. I don't know from personal experience, obviously, but, no, he really, like, he was true to who he is. And I admire that. I can't even imagine, what was thrown his way. So it's pretty cool of him to do that. And look, I mean, he married Miss Universe, so I think it all worked out for him in the end.
Yeah, well, that could have been you. I mean, had you stayed down that path.
God.
You were Miss Florida, no. And then you went, didn't you finish like top 15 Miss USA or something like that?
I was top 15 in Miss America, but I got cut after the swimsuit portion. So, you know, here's the thing. If you're Miss Florida and you get cut after the swimsuit portion, something is just, you know, awry. Like Florida is supposed to keep going. And that's why I was never supposed to really have success in all of that. But I think I was so different that the judges panel in Florida was like, all right, fine. I'm not trying to make myself out to be some, you know, like rogue pageant contestant, but I was just like a little bit different than the others. And I had kind of accidentally gotten into pageants because my friends who I thought were my friends at University of Florida signed me up for the Miss US pageant without me knowing as a joke. And that was how I got into it. So, awesome times there for sure.
No, that's a sign they are your friends. Like, that's what friends
like,
do.
What are you guys doing? Like, they knew I was, I mean, I wore sweatpants every day and I went and worked on the radio. Like, I didn't need to be doing a pageant, but they did think it was really funny.
Dan and I have a saying on our show that insults are the language of intimacy amongst males. Like, that's what friends, yes, it is. If you're not insulting me, you don't like me, you know? So,
no, yeah.
Right.
It was a big insult. Yeah.
So you better start insulting me pretty soon.
I mean, I think I already have. If you're paying attention, it's a little subtle, you know, subtle insults or maybe subtle intimacy if it were.
Wait, so I find it interesting because you wanted to do, when did you know you wanted to do radio? You did radio at University of Florida, sports radio, and now you're doing TV. You're a big TV star. In fact, when I think of, you know, upcoming stars here at ESPN, stands that she is certainly Laura Rutledge at the very top of the list. I mean, I used to be at the top of the list many, many years ago, and now I think it's you. But you knew you wanted to do radio. Like, how'd you know? When did you know? What are you guys laughing at?
No. Listen, you are still at the top of the list is really what I'm trying to say here. Thank you for that compliment. So here's the thing. I grew up listening to NPR and I love Car Talk and Garrison Keillor and, you know, just some of those shows. I love that you could tell stories with audio and that you had to paint such a picture. And so when I went in and I was trying to volunteer at the radio station on campus, I really thought I would do news. I didn't even think, and maybe more like a storytelling medium in radio. And they had an opening in sports, so I thought, all right, well, you know, I like sports just as much as the next person. I was terrible. In fact, when I first got hired there as an intern, they said, oh yeah, you can do the 5 to 9 shift. And I thought, well, that stinks. I'm going to miss dinner and dinner is very important to me, but whatever, you know, it'll be fine. Little did I know I had accidentally signed up for 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. And, that was a really, jarring phone call to receive at 3:45 a.m. to realize that I was late for my first day on the job. But anyway, very early on, I realized that I loved that. I loved, you know, trying to convey a story via radio and knowing that people could only listen. And then I also loved the callers and being able to interact with people, that way. It's such a more conversational medium. And so I love that about radio. And we didn't have many callers on the cheap seats, but I did, we had one caller that we always referred to as Chewy, who every time would call in and make a Chewbacca noise. And so the funny part about that was it was actually my boyfriend in college. We were so desperate for callers. He did a really good Chewbacca. So I would have him call in to the show as Chewy. We would take the call every time. And I would say, "Hi, Chewy, you're on the cheap seats." And he would go, "Oh," you know, do the Chewbacca sound. And then we'd say, "Okay, Chewy, well, it's great to hear from you." And we would hang up just because we were that desperate for callers. So I mean, just all of that, the rawness of it and how wonderful radio is, as you guys know, it will always be my favorite medium.
Santa, get Chewy on the podcast, okay?
I wish I could make a Chewbacca noise. Being able to do that that comes in so handy in life if you can do it.
Well, why don't you try again? Let's hear you take a stab at it, okay?
Okay. It's like, oh!
You're so embarrassed just trying it. You're so funny. Santa, you try it. Santa's a movie buff.
I can't do Chewy. I think it's a little higher pitch, guys.
It's like a little la 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 to it, you know. We're missing that part, but
what a breakdown of the Chewbacca screen. What is your, just out of curiosity, since we're there, what's your favorite movie? Laura Rutledge's favorite movie is
Wedding Crashers.
Nice.
I have always loved it. I will always love it. And I think it's one of the most original forms of just that type of comedy with that slate of actors and actresses together, which I love. So, and it's just, the premise is amazing. Like, who hasn't then tried to crash a wedding after watching that movie? And maybe before, certainly too, but yeah, it's awesome.
This is, Stanzik, you love Wedding Crashers, do you not? Stanzik, a movie buff. I wonder, is that too? Well, I don't know. You're kind of like a highbrow movie, Stanzik, so I don't know.
I do. I mean, I'm a big, you know, attended the Oscars one year. Don't worry about it.
Excuse me.
But yeah, Wedding Crashers I really enjoy too. Some say it doesn't hold up nowadays. There's a lot of like homophobic stuff, but I still really enjoy it. Comedy. Wow. It's a comedy with a love story, and I fall for the love story every time. I'm in on Wedding Crashers.
Wouldn't you say too that it's one of those super quotable movies? Like, yes, there's so many, yes, quotes out of that just apply in regular life. And I will also offer this up. So my secondary favorite movie, even though you only asked me for one, is Nacho Libre. And that is often received. It's very polarizing, that movie. Like, people either love it or think it's the stupidest thing they've ever heard. And I think it's phenomenal. Like, I think it is absolutely incredibly funny for so many reasons. So I don't know where you guys are on Nacho Libre, but
I've never seen it. I mean, Stanzik would know better. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either. I'm not a huge Jack Black.
I will tell you what, Stanzik and I as a project. Okay. We will watch it. Both of us will watch it. We'll have you back on. Yes. I'll tell you, I want to say next week, but probably like 3 weeks. And we'll have you back on, and then we will break down this movie together, the three of us, okay?
Yes. Okay. Okay. I'm so excited about this. And please don't stand me up for this one, because this one will really hit me at my core, because we're talking about Nacho Libre here, who I love. So, and I'm not really a Jack Black fan either. I just, something about this movie is so stupid and also so funny at the same time. So I can't wait.
We will, listen, based on your performance thus far, we will never cancel on you again, okay? In fact, we will cancel other people just to have you on, all right? I now regret going with Cody Zeller over Laura Rutledge that one day.
Oh, yeah, I mean, come on. Sorry, yeah, Cody Zeller, my God. What an insult.
Terrible judgment. I mean, seriously. Wait, so for you, because now you're, so you started in radio, you loved it, Chewy used to call it, and now you're a big, now you're a big television star. At the network, I mean, you really are, you know you are. But is the end game, what's the end game for you? Is it, would you like to get back to radio? Is that where you want to go? Or are you happy with TV?
I would love to do a combo of both. And it's why, like, anytime, you know, I can get on a radio show, I'm like, yes, let me do it. Cause I truly love that side of it. And I love TV as well. And I think too, you know, for me, one of the things that allowed me to, you know, maybe be more comfortable on TV at maybe a younger age, even though like I'm getting pretty old at this point, but, was because I spent so much time on radio. And you guys know this. I mean, you spend time on radio and it's like, that's just, you're just very sure of who you are as a broadcaster, whether people like that or don't like it. You're sure of who you are, which I think is maybe one of the most key things, is to just be very steadfast and to kind of be where your feet are as somebody that's going to be on TV or on radio. So, yes, my ultimate goal is to do a combo of all of those things. And wouldn't you guys say, I mean, I think in this day and age, you kind of have to be able to do it all. You can't just like roll up and say, you know what? I only do one thing and I'm good with that. You know, that's just not going to cut it anymore in any type of media.
What I always say, like for, yes, I agree with you. What I tell people as they're trying to get into this industry is figure out the one thing that you want to do and master, yeah. and master that one thing and then pursue it relentlessly. Like for me, I never wanted to be on TV. I didn't think about, I just wanted to do sports radio. And then I arrived all the way to ESPN and then all of a sudden I'm getting TV opportunities. So, but it's only because I became good at radio. So, mm-hmm. but I think once you're in it, then yes, doing as many things as possible is the way to go.
That's absolutely correct. And I'll never forget my boss at that AM station, his name's Steve Russell in Gainesville. He said, find your expertise. Like, what's your expertise? And I was like, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know where I'm a mess. Right. But what I did realize at the time, and this was really what I think helped me get into the business, is that there was not a female presence in college football recruiting. And this is the day and age, we're talking like 08 to 2010, the day and age when, you know, recruiting sites, the Rivals.com, the Scout.com of the world, those were really gaining steam. And those subscription sites where people wanted sort of that inside info. So I just started, I thought, okay, well, this is going to be my niche and I'm going to make it work. And so I started going to like every single satellite camp, Nike camp, all up and down the state of Florida, and just started like, you know, kind of like the early tweets of Mort, like started tweeting things out and people were like, oh, who's this random girl, you know, tweeting stuff out. But it opened up a lot of doors in addition to the radio, and that was kind of my early niche.
All right, so put us there. We have a game we want to play with you at the end, okay? And then we'll get you out of here. But put us there for the biggest fight, okay? You, your husband Josh Rutledge, uh-huh. Florida, Alabama. There had to been fight. By the way, I said that. Did you know Rutledge was once traded for Shane Victorino? Did you know that?
The Flying Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Guys, yeah. This was a player-for-player trade, in fact, where Rutledge went from the Angels to the Red Sox, and in fact, it was like a great opportunity for him. He ended up, you know, the Red Sox like were like, hey, yeah, we're all in on this guy. Like he was in AAA for the Angels, and the Red Sox were like, yeah, like we'll play you. And so he went right up to the big leagues from the Salt Lake Bees. So anyway, so we've had a lot of fights over the Alabama Florida situation. The problem is, like, I am a realist about football and I'm really close to all of this. And so I look at it and I'm like, yeah, like my team's not going to beat your team, really anytime soon. And so Alabama's had this dominance. And, our biggest thing is that anytime Alabama loses, which has not been often during our relationship, you think from 2011 to now, he is just horrible to deal with. And so and I get mad about this. It makes me sort of root for Alabama to win so that I just don't have to deal with him being so crazy all the time. But I will let you guys in on this one. Our biggest quarantine fight so far has been over barbecue sauce. And this happened because I was trying to, just have some food that I wouldn't have to like cook from scratch. And so I had this barbecue thing that I got from Trader Joe's that had sauce on it. And he claims that he's like never liked barbecue sauce and that I didn't know that. And I mean, this turned into like a major blow up that I think we're still working through. So, quarantine fights have made me laugh, but this one was very serious. Barbecue sauce.
I was reading a funny thing about quarantine where not only is the divorce rate up during quarantine, but we're having babies at an all-time rate too.
It's like one way or the other. You gotta figure something out.
I'm just trying, there has to be couples out there who have had babies and then divorced.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's not good.
It's just popped in my mind. You have become the Tua expert, by the way, which is a good thing. You're the go-to Tua person. You're the go-to. It's like, listen, everyone occasionally get lucky, right? Like Dan and I were the go-to big three Miami Heat guys for the network for a while because they were down here. And Sedano became the Laker guy. And Ethan Strauss was the Warriors guy. You're the Tua guy. So and you know, I'm in South Florida, so there's a lot of speculation about the Dolphins and what they're going to do. Before we get to this game with Laura Rutledge, where do you see, like, what's going to happen here with Tua? Do you think the Dolphins will take him? Is he healthy enough? What's your pulse on of what's going to happen with Tua here.
This is one of the most fascinating draft stories we've seen in a long time. And look, I mean, what I would say about his health is that I think he actually is healthy and could start next season, whenever that happens to be in the NFL. I think the question more that all these teams are running into is just long-term durability. And that's where, you know, we're just not going to know, right? And it's going to be a risk no matter who takes him. But I think that some of this that's come out about the Dolphins being more interested in Herbert over Tua is a little bit of a smokescreen. I'm not totally sold on that. And look, I don't want to ever sit here and say that I don't think a guy's going to pan out, because I think everybody can have a chance to pan out. But I would say that if you're going to take Justin Herbert over Tua Tagovailoa, that is a mistake. And it's not that Herbert's not a good player. He has a great future ahead of him, but I just think that Tua's ceiling is higher. He's got a generational arm. You talk about, look, I'm not going to go as far as some have gone and said, you know, he's Dan Marino, but he can throw it like no other, and it's going to be really fun to watch him at the next level if he can stay healthy. So right now, I would say that I still think the Dolphins are probably going to take him, and I think that some of this is coming out because they're trying to, you know, make sure that nobody trades up to that three spot. One thing that's interesting today, and Adam Schefter reported on this, but you know, we had heard, and this has been confirmed, that the Dolphins were trying to get Tua there as their first visit, you know, right before these visits were shut down by the NFL, and they just couldn't work it out on either side. And I think that's very telling. I know too from my sources that the Dolphins have been consistently one of the teams that's asked the most questions medically about him. So you don't do that unless you're super interested. It just is going to be a matter, you know, how do they weigh the risk? And they are a risk averse organization. So that's kind of burnt him in the past. If you think back to Drew Brees, it's a totally different group of people now. So that's not even a totally relevant comparison. But I think if they can get past the risk, I think they're going to take him.
All right. So we got a little game for you. By the way, you have crushed this podcast. Okay. So we're going to have you. We will never blow you off for Cody Zeller again. I promise you.
Next time I'm wearing a towel on my head and no one's going to be able to see it, but you know, that's going to be a thing that will happen. So
how many Stupidity stickers would you like Stanzik to send you? Well, we'll put them in the mail with the banana bread. I mean,
I'm looking at, you know, surface area here. I think we need probably at least five. I mean, how big are these stickers? Are they tiny stickers or? You know, what are we talking?
I mean, but listen, we can send you wallpaper if you'd like. It's up to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's just do that. Send me one of those whole backgrounds, you know, a green screen background, but it's not green. It's a stupidity screen. Let's do that.
All right. And so here's the other deal. I make deals constantly on this podcast. Okay. And sometimes we follow up on them and sometimes we don't. We're going to have Rutledge on. Okay. Your husband. John,
oh, yeah.
Okay. We need to talk hunting with him, Bama with him. I'm even thinking, Stillywood. Okay. I'm thinking a Stillywood game because my wife would love you. Okay. I'm telling you, she would love you. So what we do is we play a game. Who knows their husband? Who knows their spouse? Who knows their wife best? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Good.
All right. I'm all in on this.
And we've got 50 dates planned. This is great.
I'm excited. I'm writing them down in my planner. What a nerd.
Your planner. And I want to see the planner next time. Okay. I got to see
that. Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Are you putting pen to paper, pencil to paper?
Oh, no, I am. And look, this is an example. I mean, I can't even look. This is an example of what my handwriting looks like. And for those at home who can't see, it basically looks like a drunken fifth grader. No, a drunken kindergartner, if we're being totally honest. It's so bad. It's terrible handwriting.
Okay. All right. So you ready for your game here?
I'm ready.
All right. It's either, neither, or both. Okay.
By the way, it's either or neither. Where are you going either and neither?
I pronounce it either, neither. Tomato, tomato, Stanzik. I mean, come on.
I mean, you know. Okay. All right.
Either, neither, or both. Stupidity. Either, neither, or both. Laura Rutledge, are you ready for either, neither, or both from Stanzik, who looks a lot smarter than he is because he has glasses?
I am so ready. Orlando Bloom, give it to me.
I'm doing my whole Joe Madden routine on you, Stanzik.
I know you are.
Sorry.
It's fine.
All right, either, neither, or both. You ready? Here's your first question. Your daughter's name is an homage to Reese Witherspoon or Reese's candy, either, neither, or both.
Either Reese's candy, I love it.
Wow!
I thought it was Pokey Reese. I gotta be honest with you. Your daughter Reese will root for Florida or Alabama, either, neither, both.
both. Right now I would say both, but I hope that she's like independent enough to just go root for some totally other team.
Okay. So both. So when Dad's not looking, she's rooting for the Gators. And when you're not looking, she's rooting for Alabama, right?
Exactly.
All right. Good job, Anna Reese. All right. Pageant girls are mainly catty or sweet? Either, neither, both.
Neither. They are so all over the place. And in fact, you just never know what's going to come out of their mouth. My favorite pageant quote, I think this is supposed to be a fast paced game, but I have to tell you guys the story.
Oh, please do.
From a certain, member of the Miss America class of 2013 who came up to me at one point during the, competition and said, "Man, girl, I've been uncomfortable all day long and I just realized it's because my underwear is on backwards." And the underwear was, you know, could be compared to dental floss. So if you think about this, like how that would maybe feel. So yeah, they're neither. They're crazy.
Santa, get her on the podcast. Okay. The best football coach in America is Nick Saban or Bill Belichick? Either, neither, both.
I'm going to say either.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm going to, and I would say, so if I say either, I need to say which one, right?
Yeah, pick one, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say Bill Belichick. I, and Saban's right there, but Belichick's just, you know, has had more success at the NFL level. And I think that's key.
Urban Meyer, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Okay. I thought the Gator would come out in you. I don't know. I just figured it might. I took a shot at it. Your favorite co-host. Oh boy. Your favorite Ooh. Co-host is Greedy or Feinbaum, either, neither, or both. And by the way, no one in quarantine, no one's hair is more glorious right now, the size of his hair, than Paul Feinbaum. It's amazing to see.
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, both. They're both my favorite co-hosts. Paul's hair. So Paul, I don't know how you guys felt about this. Paul was sneaky nailing the quarantine game. Like, he's got the hair out to the sides and like a cool kind of like a mock neck cowl neck sweatshirt. I thought he looked really cool. But the hair had a lot going on. He even said that when he went outside, like it was, you know, it would really poof up because it was blowing in the wind, which yeah. I think we need that visual. I'm going to try to get that for us.
Okay, please do. All right. Final one for you. We'll get you out of here. You've been great. And thank you for the time. Best athlete of our lifetime, Tim Tebow or Michael Jordan? Either, neither, or both?
Either, Tim Tebow.
What? Rutledge, what are you doing?
Get out of here.
Stanzik, what was the original? Who's the first person you put up there and I told you to change it? What was the original?
I think we were going to do best college athlete and it was going to be Tebow or like Christian Leitner or Tyler Hansbrough or something
And I said there's no scenario where Laura is not going to answer to Tebow. So you might as well put the greatest athlete ever and see where she goes. And you still went Tebow. That's amazing.
Oh my goodness. My real answer is obviously Michael Jordan, but it's way funnier to say Tebow. I had to throw a haymaker at you guys on my way out of here. You know, I can't leave without a bang. Come on.
You did a great job. All right. So this is, this will be the first of many, many appearances on Stupidity. Banana bread and stickers or wallpaper are already in the mail. Okay. And I must tell you that you crushed this, Laura. Okay.
You guys are so much fun and I can't wait for my stickers. And I also can't wait for them to tell me to tear my wall down because my whole wall is covered with Stupidity stickers on my SportsCenter head. It's going to be awesome.
Put one on the towel too that goes around your head, all right?
Put one on my head. What are we talking about?
This yeah, fix the towel.
Right on my forehead.
Laura, it's nice to meet you, by the way.
Hey, fancy meeting you here.
Stupidity!
All right, Stanzik, that was a nice first dance with Rutledge there. I want to have more dances. I want there to be more dances, obviously. I want more dances with Rutledge. I mean, every time I fall for this, man, I'm swooning. So are you.
I think there's an obvious reason why we're swooning. I mean, Laura Rutledge knows how to butter people like us up. She very quickly agreed to the George Clooney lookalike for you and then said, "I look like Orlando Bloom," which is absolute nonsense. But you were probably so clouded by all of that positivity that I'm guessing you've already forgotten the movie you told her that we would watch before the next time she is on.
We told her we'd watch a movie? I mean, hopefully it was The Last Dance.
Do you have any idea?
Nightmare on Elm Street? did we really agree to this? I mean, I have no idea. All I remember is a reindeer's head. Reindeer games?
Nacho Libre.
Ah, that's right. Of course. How could I forget? Nacho Libre. So we have to watch that. You and I have to watch it together before she comes on the next time.
That's what you agreed to. She said it's one of her favorites. You were like, all right, Sansa and I will watch it. Then we'll have you on and the three of us will discuss it. So you basically gave me homework of watching a comedy from the 2000s.
Great. You're on to me because what I was going to suggest is you watch it, give me the cliff notes, and then we bring Rutledge back on. But you like watching movies, so that works for you, right?
I'll figure it out.
What is it called? Nachos Libre? What is it? Be Lebedard's favorite movie, Nachos. I mean, seriously. We love Rutledge, though. She was fantastic, right?
Does that stand for free nachos in Spanish?
Stupidity.